Hey folks, Matt McSpirit here, technical evangelist and member of the ops team here at Microsoft. We're back in sunny Redmond here at the Microsoft campus to continue our look at the 10 reasons why you'll love Windows Server 2016. And today we're going to meet with Clark Nicholson, who's going to give you everything you need to know about remote desktop services in Windows Server 2016. Let's go meet him. So Clark, thanks for joining me to talk about remote desktop services. Tell us a bit about you. What do you do?
I'm a program manager on the remote desktop services team.
Okay.
I've been at Microsoft for, gosh, I think about 17 years now.
Wow.
So
good innings.
Yeah. So I focus on our partner community.
Because right.
Remote desktop services is primarily a partner platform.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got lots of partners around the world that build services and technology on top of remote desktop services.
Okay, and there's a lot of cool stuff in remote desktop services in
yeah.
the last couple of releases and this one. So
yeah.
bring people up to speed with what are the key investments in 2016 around RDS?
Yeah, well, I think I could summarize those down to like three sort of big buckets, if mm-hmm. you will. We put a lot of investment into our graphics for Windows Server 2016. Also our scale, being able to scale both up and down.
Right.
And then finally in integrating with Azure.
Okay, so let's investigate those three specifically. So when it comes to graphics, you know, a couple of releases ago we introduced Remote FX. That was mm-hmm. awesome because it gave such a rich graphical experience. Tell us a bit more about what's going on in graphics in 2016.
Well, the first thing we did is we extended our Remote FX graphics adapter to include OpenGL.
Right.
And so that opened it up to a whole new set of applications that that didn't use DirectX. Then we worked with our friends over in Hyper-V to
cool.
implement a completely new technology that we call DDA, Direct Device Assignment,
okay.
where a graphics GPU can be assigned to a specific VM, and then you can use the IHVs graphics driver.
Right. So
okay.
that's slightly different from perhaps previous architectures where you would present a virtual GPU that was software generated, synthetic essentially.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now we can increase our app compatibility was really the big thing.
Right.
So, because now the applications see the actual IHVs,
GPU.
Graphics driver and GPU itself.
And there's some awesome graphics cards out there on the market, so
exactly
can open up new scenarios for people.
Exactly, and
okay.
so we're taking advantage of that, not only in our VDI solutions, but also with our session host.
Right.
So one of the big things that we did is now we have multiple sessions can access those DDA graphics drivers.
Right.
And so you can run graphics accelerated applications from multiple sessions simultaneously on the same VM.
Cool. And are there specific scenarios that are driving this? Like, is it CAD or are there certain architectural programs that are demanding this graphic kind of experience?
Yeah, we get a lot of feedback from not only our large enterprise customers, but our hosting partners as well, that there's just a whole other set of applications that they would like to start virtualizing and providing through RDS off the platform.
Right.
And so this now expands that set of applications.
Cool. So that's graphics. What about scale?
So scaling is interesting. We wanted to solve problems of both scaling down very small but cost-effective deployments and also be able to scale up to very large deployments.
Mm-hmm.
And so example of one of the things we've done allowing scaling down is we now allow our high availability connection broker to be able to utilize a database in an existing SQL Server cluster.
Right.
Before, you had to take over the whole SQL Server cluster, which was pretty costly for a small deployment.
So essentially dedicating it to the connection.
Exactly.
Right.
Now you just need to assign a database out of maybe an existing and maybe even shared SQL Server cluster.
Okay, right? Nice. So it gives people a bit more flexibility and...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And then on the scale-up side, one of the big things we wanted to handle in our broker is to be able to handle what we call 9 a.m. scenarios or logon storms.
So when everybody comes into the office, clicks start and connects to their VM and boom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in the past, on 2012 R2 and back, You know, sometimes that would cause big delays. It might take minutes to get logged in. Well, we did a lot of improvements, efficiency optimizations, and how we query our database and so forth. And now we can keep up with thousands of logins, nice. You know, happening over very short periods of time.
So we've got graphics, we've got scale. But what about integration with the cloud? You mentioned that earlier on. Give us a bit more detail into
that. So, big amount of our work was kind of what we call optimizing for the cloud or optimizing for Azure.
Right.
So, and they tie into some of the things we just talked about, for example. So, HA Broker, we can now use Azure SQL DB, the PaaS service, instead of having to stand up SQL Server clusters
right.
in your RDS and IaaS type deployment.
Right? So more flexibility again.
Exactly. Yeah. Much lower cost, mm-hmm. much easier to deploy.
Right. And faster.
And faster, exactly. And and on the graphics front, you know, in addition to working with the Hyper-V team, we've also worked with the Azure team to provide a new tier of VMs that will actually implement that DDA technology we talked about.
Nice.
So you'll be able to set up a VM that has a graphics GPU visible to it, install our session host server,
yeah.
and now you'll be able to run accelerated graphics applications from the cloud.
Awesome. So essentially taking advantage of all of that technology, even though the system that you're connecting to may be in a remote data center somewhere on the other side of the country, potentially.
Exactly. A couple other things we've done in this front. We worked with the Azure Active Directory team to implement a couple of features that we're taking advantage of and hope our customers will. One of them is called Azure Active Directory Domain Services.
Right.
So in this case, you can basically stand up a domain controller on your VNet in Azure without actually instantiating VMs. It's
right.
done as a PaaS service in the background. It's
okay.
as simple to set up. But once you have an AAD tenant with your users in it, you simply check a box and say, I want to have a domain controller on this VNet. And they will stand up that in the background for you. And then you can do all the things you always did before. You can join your machines into the domain.
Right.
And the users' credentials and things get synced automatically. So it's a very simple, kind of elegant solution then for RDS.
That scenario is where you've got RDS-specific VMs running in Azure. You've now got your domain running in Azure, and it's essentially connecting all of those together.
Exactly.
Seamless sign-on from your device.
Exactly. And then the final piece to that is another Azure Active Directory service called App Proxy. Mm-hmm. So you can stand up an App Proxy in front of your RDS deployment, and now you can actually use the AAD credentials to log in to your RDS deployment.
Nice.
And that turns on a bunch of interesting features like multi-factor auth and things that just kind of come for free with
yeah.
AAD.
So using your smart card or a phone call or a PIN or whatever for the extra
exactly.
level of security.
Yeah.
And we've got some slides that you can quickly walk us through
architecturally
to help us illustrate that. So
I think it's easier to see when you can actually see a diagram of how this all comes together.
Yeah.
So
a picture says 1,000 words.
Exactly. So this is what a 2012 R2 deployment mm-hmm. would have looked like in Azure, and you
okay.
can see I've kind of tallied this at the bottom that kind of the minimum set you're going to end up here with would be 8 VMs and 7 role services.
Yeah.
Now this is just for what I call the RD infrastructure, so
right.
this isn't including the session host. This is just our broker or gateway and so forth.
So what we've got at the bottom there, from bottom to top, is Azure Fabric, which you don't have to worry about the plumbing of Azure because that's taken care of.
That's
but you've
right.
essentially deployed a handful of VMs here.
Yep.
SQL, a gateway, RDWare. You've separated the roles for as a best practice rather than combine them all onto a single server.
Yep.
You've got the connection broker, the licensing server, and so you've got all of those roles deployed. And you deployed those manually? Is that how you would get to this point?
In the past, you would have deployed all these manually.
Right,
exactly.
Okay.
So then as we flip forward to 2016 and Azure V2, first thing we're building are these Azure Quick Start templates, they're called.
Great.
They will automate the deployment of these VMs in the new ARM.
Awesome. So using the new ARM model for accelerated deployment.
Exactly.
Great.
Now, in this case, what I've done now is I've replaced that SQL Server cluster with Azure SQL Database, the PaaS service.
Right.
And so
you
I've eliminated
You could use
that.
The SQL cluster.
You could.
If you wanted to.
If you had a large deployment.
Yeah.
Yes, if you had a large deployment, it's cost effective to do that. But for smaller deployments, you would want to go this way.
Right.
Because now we've eliminated two of our VMs and one of our role services that we're having to maintain
over time. Yeah, nice. Makes it easier to manage.
Exactly. And then if we go one step further, now we've replaced our domain controller VMs, because we had to have two, with AAD domain services.
For the PaaS service in Azure.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Again, get simpler. Now we're down to four VMs and five role services.
Everything's just getting simpler and simpler.
Yeah, exactly. And then finally, we've stood up our AAD app proxy in front of this whole deployment. And one of the things you'll notice here, it was a little subtle, but these endpoints that were exposed to the public internet are now gone.
Right.
Because the app proxy is a reverse proxy. So we can now remove all of the external connections to our RDS deployment.
And just go through.
Reducing this, what we call the attack surface.
Right.
And therefore increasing the security, really, of this deployment up in Azure. Right?
Awesome. It seems like, less is more.
Absolutely.
We're taking things away, we're reducing the role services, but you're getting more. You're getting more simplicity, more flexibility.
Exactly.
It's all going in the right direction. Great. So if you could summarize for us, you know, what people need to take away, and also give us an idea if somebody wants to get started today with 2016 and RDS, what would be your guidance for them?
Well, summarizing, you know, we've made a lot of investments in the graphics area, in supporting scale both down and up. And a lot of investments in optimizing for Azure,
right?
Reducing the cost, just simplifying everything up in Azure. We have a number of different tools and documentation sets that people can access. We have a RD team blog is really one of the kind of the key things that you want to probably follow, because we usually point to different tools and documents as we publish them.
Yeah.
TechNet, of course, we've got a full set of documentation that explains how to deploy all of these things manually. Mm-hmm. And then we've also got our Azure Quick Start templates that automate the deployment of these in Azure as well.
So Clark, thank you for the education on RDS and what's coming in 2016, but also how that integrates and the story with Azure. And thanks to you for watching. And stick with us as we continue our look at the 10 reasons you'll love Windows Server 2016. Thanks. We'll